Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive with a Top 6 at 6.
How about 6? 6 is good.
Jokic, did you mean to hurt Payne?
I wanted to change the rhythm of the game. I wanted to give us some energy, maybe to change the whistle a little bit. So I tried to make a hard foul. Did I hit him? Did I didn't hit him? We don't know. So I say sorry if I did, because I didn't want to injure him or hit him in the head on purpose. So I watched the game on the locker room to cool off a little bit. So,
what do you think about the year and how the year ended for Jokic?
Well, how the year ended doesn't change anything. It was an MVP year. It should be celebrated. He is an absolute miracle that we've got him on this basketball team. He's truly a very unique basketball player in an era where athletes have just taken over. Nikola Jokic is clearly an athlete, but not in a LeBron James kind of way. He's a point center. That's who he is. Fantastic year. MVP worthy. Glad he won it. Don't care about the end of the season. Unfortunately, that was a dumb situation for the refs to throw him out of the game. Absolutely a joke. There's no chance that LeBron James or any other superstar gets thrown out of the game for the exact same situation. So, unfortunately for Nikola, that's a good reminder that he does not have the full respect of his NBA peers that some superstars do.
That would never happen to LeBron.
Never.
Kobe. Giannis. Would it happen to Giannis?
No.
Wouldn't happen to MVPs.
Absolutely not.
Except for
Nikola Jokic.
Nikola Jokic, or whatever that dude said. All right, ring it, Kevin.
I don't know what you felt like going into the second series here, but I felt like it was all gravy. And no matter what happened with the Suns, I felt like it was a good season. Man, you overcame the odds. You won an actual playoff series. So no matter what happens, I said I was going to feel good, but I admit I feel different now that they got swept a little bit. Where were you at when the series began, just as far as your satisfaction with the season? And now that they got swept, where are you now?
Well, you know, listen, I screwed up because I really did not think Chris Paul was going to play like this.
Oh, shoot, me either, buddy.
So, to me, it was a relatively favorable matchup, and I thought, so I guess I'm disappointed. But then again, Chris Paul wasn't playing like this before this series, and then he really looked like an MVP caliber guy, because that's who he's been in the past, and that's how he played. So after game one, if you remember, I came in on the air here, and I was like, oh, Tyler, this is not good. And it's like, come on, D-Mac, you always about game ones. They're not that big of a deal, which I still stick with. But I said, I didn't account for Chris Paul.
Yep.
And so I guess I was more surprised at the beginning how good he was. Then I thought, if we can't contain him, we're dead. And we couldn't contain him.
All right, but are you satisfied?
I am
with
satisfied.
The
yeah, I guess to the roundabout point is I am satisfied because there's no way for us to stop it. We didn't have Jamal Murray. I didn't know he would be that good. Jokic won the MVP. I do like Michael Malone. It was crazy what we were trying to get away with Campazzo and Austin Rivers. So, yeah, Tyler, actually, yeah. And Will Barton was gone for a huge chunk of time. So I am satisfied.
Big picture, I am satisfied. Big picture, the sweep doesn't change a whole lot for me. Temporarily, it does make me wonder just a little bit if we're going to have to keep our eye on this with Coach Malone. He deserves the right to be able to see this thing through, and he has built one heck of a basketball team, and I think he's a good basketball coach. For all I know, I think he's a great basketball coach. But when you get swept like that, it is something to keep your eye on, because you do not want to be that franchise that the expectations are just, hey, we're going to make it into the playoffs, and as long as we do that, everything was okay. We got to get over that, and we got to get to the next level where we're no longer the underdogs, we're no longer the Cinderella story, and you've got expectations of going further and further.
Ring it, Kevin. And by the way, we're going to talk to Coach George Karl here in about 10 minutes, so hang in there for that. What did you think of Suns and Four Fight Guy?
Suns and Four Fight Guy. Man, he just utterly destroyed our Jamal Murray fans. Poor Jamal Murray's got those two guys repping him on their back. Those guys, first off, had it coming.
Murray deserved better. Somebody has suggested that as a T-shirt.
Yeah.
Did you come up with that, Richie? Or did somebody else come up with Murray deserved better?
The sentiment going around on social media, and I thought it was
okay, so yeah. It wasn't your original, but that's a funny T-shirt idea. Murray deserved better. But
Jamal deserved better. So if you haven't seen the video, you're living under a rock, I guess, but... Two Nuggets fans started picking a fight with the Suns fan at Game 4. Two Nuggets fans had the upper ground. They also were 2-on-1, and they took a beatdown by the Suns fan. They also threw the first punch. They also were the aggressors. I think that Suns fan is actually, from a legal perspective, I think he's probably going to be okay because it did look like self-defense to me.
It did.
Yeah.
Although, the guy was turtled and he was holding on to him, and...
They did throw a couple uppercuts in there when it was unnecessary, that's for sure. I got mad respect for the cool-headedness to be in the middle of a fight like that, absolutely dominate him, two guys, and then to finish it off with the one-liner, Suns in four. I got mad respect for that.
Oh, Ray and Kevin.
Not the violence.
Not the violence.
Everybody relax.
The composure, not the violence.
What do you think is going on with the Packers right now? I mean, this is crazy. We've now got the Packers GM saying that a former GM called Aaron Rodgers complicated and says it in a light in which it's very clear what complicated means. Not that we needed enough. There was any confusion on what complicated means. It's not a good thing. What are they trying to do right now? Are they trying to save things with Aaron Rodgers?
I think they just Murphy actually kind of made a mistake. I mean, it starts off quirky in the beginning, but you'll hear it.
I'm often reminded of Ted Thompson, who most of you know, just a great general manager, passed away this past year.
Earlier this year, often talked about Aaron, that he's a and it wasn't just Aaron, a lot of different players, he would say, he's a complicated fella. So I'll just say that.
Oh, is that a good thing, complicated?
It's an insult, but maybe...
So what are they doing?
Maybe they don't care anymore. Maybe it's not that... I think he just kind of screwed up, because I don't think he thought that this was going to sort of take off. Although, actually, that's insane that he wouldn't
think
that.
Oh, come on, he's not that dumb. Give me a break. You call somebody complicated in a public forum, you know what you're doing.
He may as well go all the way, then. He may as go all the way.
Okay,
he may as well go out there like I heard Stokely talk about and just be like, and you've talked about, and just say, that's it, man.
You, Aaron Rodgers.
Well, kind of.
Okay, well, in my opinion, this is the Packers organization publicly acknowledging the same thing that Aaron Rodgers is saying. It's over. They're no longer trying to sweet talk him. They're no longer trying to get in his good graces. They're calling him out. So if they are now publicly saying that it's over, my opinion of what that means. Does that mean that maybe we will get a trade quicker than what we initially thought?
I don't think so. I think it's
then gonna, why?
I don't know. I don't know what games they're playing here. It makes no logical sense whatsoever. And I think this is a little bit of a result that there is not one significant owner to just make it happen. It's a complicated situation. Bring it. Tyler, you were gone for a couple days last week, and I want to get your reaction to Kareem Jackson suggesting that Deshaun Watson has told him Deshaun wants to play for the Broncos. What's your reaction to Kareem Jackson putting that out there?
Well,
on the Aqib Talib Catch and Fades podcast.
Yeah, I mean, not the first time that Kareem Jackson has insinuated that Deshaun would consider playing for the Broncos, but it is the first time, at least that I'm aware of, that he's outright said that Deshaun asked him to say the Broncos are his dream destination.
Right.
Okay, well, I guess the part that I find interesting is not that Deshaun Watson still wants to play for the Broncos, although that part is a little bit fascinating, actually, that he's still demanding a trade. If you were Deshaun Watson, would you still be demanding a trade? I don't know. Think about that one for a second.
I don't know what I'd be doing.
Right? But then there's another level to it that I have noticed on social media, which is definitely not everything, but it's a sample size, that it feels like the momentum is really brewing again amongst the fan base, that they want Deshaun Watson, that they're still interested in him. I guess I don't get that. And D-Mac, I don't really care what happens with this legal stuff. I'm over him.
You're over Deshaun Watson. You're moving on.
what resolution could you get that you still want him as your quarterback?
I would need some severe time. I think time. People make mistakes, no doubt. But you need some time on this one. So to me, it's actually a conversation I wouldn't even be ready to entertain. I mean, well, free agency next year, early March.
I guess in a year's time, you could circle back on it.
But, I mean, it's got to be
not right now, though.
It's got to be settled. It's got to be done. You wouldn't touch this with a 10-foot pole right now. Nobody would.
I don't think so, but, man, I didn't think Antonio Brown would be back in the NFL either.
It's crazy, right? Ring of Kevin.
Hey, here's a fascinating situation that I'm really curious what the rules are with
it. Yeah, me too.
So, Luke McCaffrey is a guy that I coached in high school. Know him very, very well. Absolutely just a freak of an athlete. He went out to Nebraska. He played last year on a rotational basis.
Mm-hmm.
He transfers out of Nebraska to Louisville. Once like the window opened up, the players can transfer without penalty, right? Yeah. So he transferred to Louisville.
Spring football, right?
I guess. Although I'm not sure if they had spring football or not, because he is now transferred again out of Louisville to Rice.
Right.
Interesting situation. And honestly, so help me figure this out. Is it open season? I know that athletes can transfer once. But is it open season? Is it down to one? Like, how is he able to do this again?
Truly fascinating situation. Because
maybe Louisville didn't practice. There was no spring football. Maybe he was never officially a part of the team.
I don't know why they wouldn't have practiced. I don't know why they wouldn't have played spring football. Everybody else did. They play in a conference that had a fall schedule. I think they're in the ACC, right? Louisville, I believe they're in the ACC. Correct? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I know that. Syracuse. We play in the fall. Played against Louisville. Probably lost. I don't get it. I assume they had some sort of spring season. I assume he was participating in it, but that's assuming a lot. So here's my guess: is for whatever wacky reason, he actually did not participate in spring football with Louisville. Oh, you are? All right. Well, forget me guessing. What's the answer, Richie?
Although McCaffrey announced in February that he was headed to Louisville, his time with the Cardinals was brief enough as he arrived in June, was not placed on scholarship, and did not attend class. Thus, his status in the transfer portal remained active. Because of those circumstances, his initial commitment won't count as a transfer.
Did he transfer as a walk-on or something then?
Whatever he was transferred as, he was not placed on scholarship, which allows him to still use the one-time transfer exemption to become immediately.
Wow, interesting.
So Ed and Lisa kind of hedged their bets a little bit, did not accept a scholarship, gave him a little flexibility, because that's a pretty cool thing. You know, you don't have to take the scholarship. They don't need to take the scholarship in their particular case.
Man, three schools in a couple months. Crazy.
And then he just, he stayed in the portal. So that makes more sense. He could, as long as you're in the portal, you're eligible to continually be recruited.
So Luke McCaffrey, absolutely a freak of an athlete. And I mean that, dude. This guy could do whatever he wanted on the high school football field. It is such a great example of how good you have to really be to make it at the next level.
It is great.
Now, Luke, I think he really wanted and still wants to play quarterback, and that's part of the reason why he's been bouncing around, because I know that he had a lot of offers to better programs to play wide receiver. But man, you got to be so stinking good to make it at the next level.
I got a fun trivia question for you guys.
Man, I was really good.
Who was a critical part of Denver Broncos history who went to Rice? Recent history. One of your, Tyler, teammates. Kevin, you know, don't say anything. Let Tyler guess first. Don't cheat. Don't look it up, Richie. I'll let Kevin be the star if Tyler can't get it. But he was one of your teammates. And he did play a critical role in your Super Bowl year. In a quirky way. That's as big of a hint as I'll give.
I don't know.
Want to throw a guess? No?
Well, I was going through the wide receivers. I don't think it's wide receiver. I got to go.
It's a wide receiver.
Okay, well, not Cody. Eddie Fowler went to Michigan State. Where did Cody go?
Cody Latimer went to Ohio State. Yeah. Oh, no, Indiana. Cody Latimer went to Indiana. Bradley Roby went to Ohio State and owned him.
I don't know. Help me out.
Gavin?
Oh, I know.
Who?
Sunshine.
That is correct.
Sunshine.
Give him a gold star. Jordan Taylor, right? That's his name, right? Jordan Taylor. Yeah. Sunshine. He had long blonde hair. He made some amazing catches, but the reason why he really stands out is Jordan Taylor would go every single day and be the primary receiver for Peyton Manning while he was rehabbing.
His one-on-one practice.
And then Jordan Taylor would, after that was over, come out for a regular practice. So Jordan Taylor would practice basically twice a day for that particular year.
Yes.
And Peyton Manning thanked Jordan Taylor by name when he came back and started playing again. He recognized him. There you go. Good job there, my man. Way to go.
I needed 12 hints, but no problem. I got there.
You got it before Kevin. Kevin, you had it, though, didn't you? Yeah, look at you. Where is Jordan Taylor now? That guy had some crazy talent.
Italy? No, that's our old special teams coach.
Oh, that's right.
Why am I drawing a blank on his name, too?
22 Janos is in Italy.
Yeah, what's his name?
Brock.
Olivo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man. Just
22 Janos.
22 Janos.
Be all right, all right.
Be all right. You're fired. Oh, man, when he said that, I was like, we had 22 Janos. We wouldn't win a game.
But you'd have heart, D-Mac.
You'd have a lot of heart. You'd have a lot of try-hard guys. You'd have no wins, but...
They're all fullbacks?
Can you imagine a team with all fullbacks?
I kind of like it. Okay, let's think about it. What position could a fullback not play? You could play linebacker.
He could play all of them.
He could probably play guard. He could probably play...
He could play all of them kind of lousy.
Yeah, right?
He could kind of get away with struggling in... This is the Tebow situation.
Right.
This is like... You can play all position kind of crappy.
If you took an NFL fullback, he could be a star at the college level in probably five spots.
Can you imagine for a second, because you did this, Andy Janovich blocking DeMarcus Ware. I mean, it's ridiculous.
It didn't go well for me either, Andy, so no shot at you.
You had a chance, though. Can you imagine Jano taking on Von Miller in practice?
No, I did have to play D-Ware twice a year, every year when I was playing in the NFC East.
It happened. Yeah, no quarterback. Andy Janovich is on Jerry Jeudy. How's that going? Where do you want to put him? Safety? Oh, yeah, let's put Gronk against Andy Janovich. I mean, you know. All right, let's
he was referring to the heart, D-Mac, the soul, the character.
Right. We try hard. We had 22 Janos. We'd only lose every game 56-0. George Carl is our fan Nuggets analyst. He joins us now, courtesy of Bet Rivers Sportsbook. All right, Coach Jokic, did he deserve the flagrant two?
My interpretation was, you know, he had to get a technical foul for hitting the guy. And then I think he could have got a technical foul for walking up into Booker's face. So either way, I think he would have been thrown out of the game, whatever way you wanted to interpret it.
Really?
So I know fans want to argue about refereeing all the time, but I think Denver at that moment was in a state of frustration, a state of confusion. And Jokic was, you know, Chris Paul was just picking everybody apart on the pick and roll game, and I think Jokic just felt that Chris Paul had total control of the game, and he took a shot. He felt he got fouled, and he just lost a little bit. But I don't think that's why, you know, we should be magnifying glass on that, because Phoenix played very, very well. I've never seen Phoenix play this well, and I'm very impressed with how they're playing, and also very impressed with their demeanor and their mental toughness, even though they're a young basketball team.
Well, it's a small part of an overwhelmingly just disappointing series, that's for sure. But so you thought he would have gotten kicked out of the game no matter what. You think LeBron James would have been kicked out for the same situation?
You know, I know we're always going to go there, but I hope he would have been. You know?
No way. Come on, Coach. We know the
answer. I said 75% of the guys would get thrown.
Right.
I did give a little escape there. There's probably a list of few guys that probably wouldn't.
Well, what are your thoughts on the series? I guess where are you at on the season as a whole? Do you feel okay about the year? Do you feel like they overachieved? Do you feel a little bit disappointed based off of getting swept? Where are you at?
I think that in general, you got to be happy with the performance of the team. I think the players, when they've been challenged by injuries and circumstances and the bubble and you know, these last 2 years, it just seems like it all runs together, and I'm not sure it means anything to anything right now. But this team overachieved when they were challenged by injuries and circumstances. I think in general, the Portland series gave them a little bit of euphoria that probably wasn't earned. Portland was a bad defensive team that it was easy to score points against. And Phoenix might be the best defensive team left. And I think when you have that, you know, when you think you're doing okay in Portland series, then wham, you get slapped and you can't score 100 points. It's kind of depressing, and I think it shook the team a little bit. And, you know, I'll be honest with you. I thought physically, I thought Jokic in the Portland series was running out of gas. And I think in general, the way Phoenix came after them in the first two games and won fairly easily, I think it affected the team emotionally, and they kind of ran out of gas from a standpoint of focus and demand and just what frustration does to a basketball team.
Nikola Jokic wins the MVP. Is he the greatest Nuggets player of all time?
I would probably say yes to that if he continues to play the way he's playing for the next half a dozen years. To say yes to that right now and something happens, an injury or something happens where something goes haywire. But I love how he plays. I love his basketball IQ. I love how he makes players better. I love how he lifts his team. Even though what happened last night was I wouldn't have been happy with. But in general, he's learned to be a leader. He's learning to be a leader and being having a stronger voice. And there's no question in my mind he was the best player in the NBA this year. I mean, everybody wants to argue Chris Paul is showing that he should have got maybe more votes, but he has not shown that he played better than Jokic. Jokic was the best basketball player in the NBA this year.
Is Coach Malone the man to lead the Nuggets to an NBA championship?
Coach Malone's a good coach. The one thing I've liked about his tenure here in Denver is I think he's gotten a little bit better every year. There are things about his coaching that bother me at times, but I think if I'm giving them a grade, I'm giving them a good grade. And I think the organization, the coaching staff, and the players got to work together and not separate. You know, I've been hard on the organization not having the courage to make a big trade. I think they've considered the Gordon trade probably a big trade, but I think they're in a window that they can win a championship, but they probably got to make little changes. They got to have the courage to make a trade that doesn't win the press conference, but wins games for them on the court. And I don't know what that exactly means, but I still think they're very, very close to being a championship team.
Coach, we love having you on. We're sorry that the season's over because we had so many great times during it, but we look forward to the finish of the NBA season no matter what. And, man, we greatly appreciate your perspective. So thank you so much, Coach.
Thanks, Coach.
Guys, I enjoyed it. Let's go have a good summer and come back strong next year.
Absolutely. That's George Karl, courtesy of Bet Rivers Sportsbook. Okay, what a week it was. Not the greatest, obviously. And we'll get, you know, we're looking forward to the Broncos mandatory mini camp that starts tomorrow. We'll hear from Kliss, and we'll recover together. This is The Drive on the Fan.
Does your company make safety a top priority? Alliance Safety, Colorado's premier supplier of safety equipment, is here to help make it one. As an authorized distributor of 3M safety products and home to all pro gear, Alliance has a vast inventory of personal protective equipment designed to keep your workers safe, including fall protection, safety glasses, protective gloves, and gas detection solutions. Visit AllianceSafetyInc.net. Call 303-388-8766 or stop by the Alliance Safety Warehouse off I-70 and Tower today to lock up all your safety needs.
Listening to The Drive on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan. Here's Tyler Palumbis and D-Mac.
Oh, man. I'm ready for a new week here, that's for sure.
Man, no doubt about it. That is
What was that?
Well, that's like a historically disappointing playoff run for a city. I mean, I don't know. Gosh, has anybody had a moment like that? 8 losses in 10 days?
Not that's, that I'm aware of, no.
That is just terrible. Golly. So much hope, so much enthusiasm going into it, man.
Gone
in a blink of an eye.
Gone.
I mean, we kind of expected the Nuggets to certainly struggle against the Suns, but shoot, you'd already planned the parade. You bought all the permits you needed to buy for the Avalanche. Yeah, I mean, that one stings more for sure because you had Stanley Cup expectations. But even the Nuggets, I got to admit, man, I said going into the second series that no matter what happened, it was all gravy. I feel good about the season. But when you get swept like that, it does change things a little bit.
You weren't supposed to get swept. I mean, you know, like, could you lose the series? Sure. But a sweep? Losing two games at home? I mean, nah, you don't expect that.
No.
So all right. It is what it is. And now we move into Broncos minicamp, which starts tomorrow.
Oh, man, just like that. Just boom, done, over. It's gone. It. Like, you guys lost. We're over you. We're back to Broncos minicamp.
That's it, man.
Golly.
Well, you know what's interesting is that usually at this time of year, the NBA championship would basically be done.
Yeah.
The Stanley Cup would be over. Like, we are not used to, in a regular non-COVID year, having anything, even on the championship level, from this point and beyond.
Well, it's been great, actually, like, from a perspective of what we do, because normally we're in this dark period where there's really not a whole lot of action going on.
That is true. But now we can just really dial in on Bronco. We won't have any distractions from Broncos minicamp.
Yes. Teddy Two Gloves get exactly 50% of the snaps. Are we aware?
I mean,
is the coin flip coming out equal?
We'll see. Well, so far, but we got minicamp starting tomorrow. So I heard Brandon Stokley say something kind of interesting on my way in today. He was talking about how the Packers should approach Aaron Rodgers.
Okay.
And his theory was very opposite from everybody else. Everybody else more or less has a let's kiss Aaron Rodgers' butt sort of philosophy.
Yep.
His philosophy was forget you, Aaron Rodgers. If you don't play for us, you're never going to play for anybody again.
That's what I said. That's exactly what I said for the last couple of weeks. I said, I'm fining him every last dollar that I could find him. Hey, man, if you racked up a $93,000 fine for missing minicamp, guess what? I'm going to make you pay it. If you don't want to play football, well, hey, that's your right. You certainly are an American. You've got the choice to not show up to work. And if you choose to not do that, well, guess what you get to do? You get to pay us back $11.5 million this year. Oh, and then if you stay retired, you can do that again. Just double that. You can pay us $23 million. Dude, I'm actually with Stokely because I look at it from the Packers' perspective and I say, well, okay, you could dig your heels in and try to get the guy to blink, or you could try to get a couple first-rounders out of it that you know is not going to amount to anything like Aaron Rodgers. So what's the point?
He was advocating to do it publicly.
They already are.
Well, right. I mean, because Murphy's saying he's a quirky guy or whatever.
Yeah.
But keep going to that degree.
Said that he's a complicated fella.
Yeah,
They're going to war publicly. I don't know what that means in your world, D-Mac, but if somebody tells me that I'm a complicated fella, that probably is not a compliment.
No, of course not.
Right?
It means you're a big pain in the butt.
Yes.
It means you're an egomaniac. You're type A person. You're not even type A. You're narcissistic. You're hard to deal with. You're a diva. That's what that means. I mean, that's pretty easy to read between those lines, right?
You know, last week they started with GM said that the fan base is becoming divided. So they're trying to kind of draw a line in the sand. Hey, fan base, you choose. You mad at Aaron Rodgers or you mad at us? Now they're calling him a complicated fella. I don't know what they're doing, quite frankly. I mean, it is an interesting situation where if I could find him, I would, because he's not coming back and you might as well get as much money back to your team as you possibly could. But at the same time, you look at it and you say, hey, man, if you're going to war with him publicly, you are acknowledging the same thing that he's acknowledging. You're at war and it's not going to get better. So just move on.
Yeah, I don't know what they accomplish. It's an interesting strategery to go about that this way, and maybe, you know, according to Stokely and you, even be more outspoken about it publicly. That's a different approach. I mean
you're not going to fix things by apologizing.
No,
you're not going to fix things by firing the GM.
Right.
You're not going to fix things. So at this point, make him the bad guy. Make sure that all of your fan base has got your back, that they see that you're treating him like anybody else, and just dig your heels in and do the best you can.
It's crazy, though, man. It's like such a loveless marriage. It's I guess it could work. I mean, it's a very short-term approach. I mean, maybe they are just trying to win things in the court of public opinion.
Well, the approach is that it's over. I mean, the approach isn't like you're trying to get him back by saying negative things in the public. That's not going to get him back. If he's a complicated fella, when you call him a complicated fella, guess what? He's probably not going to hear that and think to himself, boy, I can't wait to come back to work there.
Do you think he is a complicated fella?
Yeah, of course. I do. I mean,
how do you define that? How do you define complicated fella?
Well, Aaron Rodgers is definitely a my way or the highway guy, and that's okay. I mean, is he demanding? Does he want things to go the exact way that he wants, or else he's going to cut you out of his life? Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, he's got a lot of examples in his personal life and in the football world.
Personal life, well, his family.
You know, the family deal is weird. I mean, it is weird. Well, I'm not going to sit here and act like that's totally normal. We've all got complicated family situations, and I know that people have falling outs all the time, but Aaron's got a series of these types of events, right? Okay, so am I sitting here knocking the dude, acting like I don't want him? No, I hope that it's so complicated that it's just over for the Packers. I don't care that he's complicated. I don't care if he wants things done a certain way. I'll let you do it however you want. If I had Aaron Rodgers on my team and I was running the show, all right, I recognize that he's complicated, and I just recognize the fact that he's more important than I am, so you get what you want.
Hey, really?
There's not a person in that organization that's more important than Aaron Rodgers.
Is Tom Brady a complicated fellow?
Different, but yes.
Is Patrick Mahomes a complicated fellow? Not really.
I don't know.
No.
I guess I don't have any reason to say so.
Is Russell Wilson a complicated fellow?
Yeah. He is.
He is a complicated fella.
Yeah, he's got complicated relationships with his own teammates.
Was Peyton Manning a complicated fella?
No, I mean, he was demanding.
But not complicated.
No. No, I mean, he certainly wanted things to go the way that he wanted them to go.
Yeah.
He wanted to run the period the way that he wanted to run the period.
Yeah.
But he wasn't complicated in, like, a personal relationship kind of way.
All right, well, let's check in with our guy, Mike Kliss, as we get
who's
ready.
Who's definitely complicated.
we'll talk to Kliss. Kliss is not complicated. He's about as simple.
All very simple.
Yeah. He just lives in Golden.
Right.
Drinks a couple beers after work.
Got it.
Takes his wife to Idaho Springs for lunch.
Mm.
And then obsessively watches the Broncos.
Perfect.
That's our guy. He's next.
It's The Drive on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan. Here's Tyler Palumbis and D-Mac.
Today we talked to our guy, 9 News Broncos insider Mike Kliss, courtesy of Bet River Sportsbook, and of course, what's going on with quarterbacks?
Yeah, I thought Teddy was the better quarterback in the last, couple times that we saw him. I don't think we should put too much into what we've seen. We've only seen 3 practices and 1 practice of 11-on-11. Based on what I saw, my conclusion on Locke is, let's get him off script and see, stop following a little bit what the coaches are doing and let him run around and make the athletic plays that he's capable of making, show off his arm, show off his mobility. But aside from that, trying to follow the playbook and do what the coaches are telling them, which is, go through those progressions, look at the field a certain way. Check down if you have to. It just looks like he's a little slow pulling the trigger on his passes and struggling a little bit. So we'll see what happens in training camp. There's going to be at least 2 good 11-on-11 mini camp practices. I don't know about that last day on Thursday. Seems like everybody's canceling it for a job well done.
Or so, you get an ice cream truck, Mike. You could get the ice cream. Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm.
The ice cream, they had the field day a couple of years ago.
That's right.
In which Drew Locke dominated.
Oh, I thought Garrett Bowles dominated field day a couple years ago.
No, it was, Drew Lock. Oh, okay. Drew Lock won the 3-point shooting contest, okay. And he won the golf chipping contest. So he won two events. So I think he got the overall, you know, the overall blue ribbon.
Good for him.
He's got that going for him.
Yeah. Mike, you're certainly not alone in your opinion here. I've heard many people say that Drew Lock is just not playing as well as Teddy Bridgewater has, or at least he's making a whole lot more mistakes than Teddy Bridgewater is making. I guess here's my question. If it's that clear cut and everybody's seeing it, is there any chance that Vic Fangio names his starter after minicamp and doesn't go into training camp?
No, because it hasn't been enough football, real football, guys. I mean, it's been so light. And, you know, the 11-on-11 started last week. You know, in mini camp, we'll see what happens here the next couple of days. But I really think training camp, you know, when they get, you got to get some kind of pads on and get guys closing the windows. You know, right now the DBs are, for the most part, even on 11-on-11, the DBs are not super contesting the receivers. So I think you definitely got to go through training camp. And remember, Fangio also said that his quarterbacks are going to get more preseason reps than normal, than most quarterbacks are going to play. And that's because it is a honest competition, at least till now, at least until they figure out Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay.
By the way, we're sitting here assuming it's Vic Fangio that's making this decision. So hold on. Let's back up a second. Mm-hmm. Who do you think really gets to make the decision on the quarterback? Who is it? Vic Fangio? Is it Pat Shurmur?
Yeah, I think the final decision is on Fangio. And, you know, there's going to be a lot of input from Pat Shurmur.
I get it. But if Pat Shurmur wanted player X, why would Fangio want player Y? You know, like, that makes no sense.
I understand. I mean, I don't know the dynamic of how, you know, Vic works with his coordinators there. I know how he works with Ed Donatell. You know, it goes, you know, they compromise and do it exactly Vic's way. And on offense, I'm not sure what the dynamic is there. You're right. Shurmur's going to have heavy input. But I know this. Elway, remember back to when 2019, it was Flacco, it was Brandon Allen. Allen didn't play well against the Bills.
Mm-hmm.
Elway was still leaning toward holding back Locke for a couple more games and just playing
in the last
two games of the year.
Right.
And Fangio said, you know, I'd play the kid. And he told that to Elway. And, you know, Elway and Fangio together made the decision. There's ways, guys, of making the decision and making it look like it's someone else's idea.
Mm.
Maybe that's what will happen with Shurmur and Fangio.
Appreciate it, Mike Kliss. We'll talk to you. We'll see you tomorrow, minicamp. Huh?
All right, you got it.
Are you wearing the big floppy hat? Are you wearing the Sahara Desert hat with the flaps? What are you going with?
I'm coming up from Colorado Springs, a big T-ball game for the grandson, JJ, tonight.
Oh!
I could call in updates if you want. And,
sure.
and then I'll drive up tomorrow morning and go right to the practice. So, can't wait.
Mike Kliss, our 9 News Broncos insider, brought to you by Bet Rivers Sportsbook and getting ready for mini camp. Our guy, Mike Kliss, our 9 News Broncos insider, brought to you by Bet Rivers Sportsbook. And, okay, we're moving on. We're moving on to the Broncos for this week. And then the Rocky, well, I think we'll probably, you know, yes, the Rockies, and I get it. But the All-Star game is right around the corner, too, which should be pretty exciting for us here in Colorado.
Yeah, that'll give us a reason to start talking about some baseball again.
Yeah, that should have its own quirks.
Hey, and they are facing off against the Diamondbacks, who my son asked me, how bad are the Rockies? This was today. He said, so how bad are the Rockies? I was like, buddy, they're as bad as they get. Look up the record. And he did. And what is it, like 22-45, something like that?
You
probably know off the top of your head. But he's like, but good news. They're playing a team with a worse record than they have.
They are.
Okay.
The Diamondbacks are worse.
Yeah.
So we got that going for us.
Yeah.
And we have the ongoing Aaron Rodgers saga that will, you know, it seems to sprinkle a little bit of news, fairy dust to us every single day.
Yep.
And the latest is
that he's complicated.
He's a complicated fella. That feels like it's a song.
I
from
said
the...
that to my wife the other night. It didn't go over very well.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, honey, you're really complicated. Yeah, yeah.
It'd be worse if you called her a complicated fella.
Well,
no,
I dropped out the fella part, but I think it goes over about as well with Aaron Rodgers as it would if I actually said that to my wife.
Complicated fella feels like a Super Tramp song from 1977 or something. You know, it's just an odd,
good song.
Odd phrase. Yeah. You know, he's a complicated fella. But that's Aaron Rodgers, and you know, I was back east for a couple days over the weekend, and I was asked, well, who's the Broncos quarterback going to be? And I was like, hopefully Aaron Rodgers.
Right.
And the response was interesting. It was like, well, do you think that could really happen? I'm like, yeah. Yeah, no, it could really happen. I don't think it's going to happen anywhere except for the Broncos at this point. I mean, maybe I should check that. Do you think it could be another team besides the Broncos if it were to happen?
Logically, I can't necessarily point out like three or four teams that make as much sense as the Broncos, but yes, I do think there will be other teams that enter the fold. It is Aaron Rodgers.
That would be. You want to talk about the summer of disappointment? Never mind the Avalanche and the Nuggets, which are difficult enough. But if Aaron Rodgers was dealt,
who is not really going to be interested in Aaron Rodgers? Seriously. I know there's a lot of levels of how serious you're going to get. I know that it's got to be outside of the NFC. I know that there are things that narrow the field down, but really, on the surface level, who is not interested in Aaron Rodgers?
Okay, well, listen, this is why we keep listening. This is why we keep talking. The Broncos minicamp gets going tomorrow, and Nick and Cecil get going next.